11 today. It is in our hearts today probably to look at the most difficult of these characters that I want to lay before you in these days. I want to draw our attention today, if we could, to William Cowper, the great songwriter of yesterday. William Cowper is the one that gave us that great song, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." His name is spelt C-O-W-P-E-R, Cowper. I have found a pronunciation key where they say his name is pronounced Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R. But I've been calling him Cowper for so long, I'm not going to change. Of course, I am convinced that if I meet a lot of people in heaven and I call them by their name, they probably won't answer it, because I have mispronounced it or don't even know how to pronounce it. But I sure hope we can still use that brother and sister stuff up there.
Amen.
It'll help me a lot.
Yes.
William Cowper had two portions of Scripture that were the hinges of his life. One was in John chapter 11, and verse 38, "Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice." These words were always a help to William Cowper during his 61 years here upon the earth. "Lazarus, come forth." He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. "Jesus saith unto them," these words were always a help to William Cowper during his earthly life, "loose him and let him go." The other portion of Scripture that was always a help to William Cowper was in Romans chapter number 3 and verse 25. The Bible says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." William Cowper's lived but a short life in the early 1700s, and he died in 1800. William Cowper lost a lifelong battle with depression and despair. There was never a time in William Cowper's life when he was sure that he was saved. I know you throw around all of those ideas. I know. It's good. I'm glad we can say that. William Cowper's never could say that. He fought pains and agonies of the despair and darkness of depression all his entire life. But I'm convinced with all my heart William Cowper will sit on the front rows of heaven, and I, with all of my assurance, will sit on the back rows. I don't doubt that there's some of you sitting here this morning, fought depression, dark clouds hanging over your head. Or either you've dealt with children or grandchildren, you've dealt with a wife or some loved one. Lived their life in the despair of darkness and depression. And just never can get a hold of things. Oh, they may be more saved than some of us this morning. As I begin to look at the keys to his life, I am reminded of these key scriptures. This one scripture on the resurrection from the dead. This other scripture on the blood of Jesus being a propitiation for our sins. I am reminded not only from William Cowper's life some key scriptures, but I am reminded of some key statements. I read not long ago a statement made about Cowper's life. How can such inspiration, such songs come out of such insanity? How can such glory come out of such gloom? How can such greatness come out of such weakness? I'm here to tell you this morning, God's never brought inspiration out of anything but insanity. God's never brought anything but glory out of gloom. And God can't bring greatness out of nothing but weakness. Because He gets all the glory when He does. I tell you, you won't find old William Cowper strutting himself talking about the songs he wrote. Oh, no. Gracious. Nothing that would give him any glory. Key statements about his life. He lived in the days of John Wesley and George Whitefield. He said as a young boy, he would watch out of his windows at 4 o'clock in the morning when several thousand people would assemble to hear John Whitefield preach for some 4 or 5 hours at the time. In the fields. He was 27 years old when Jonathan Edwards passed away. Benjamin Franklin gave a good review to William Cowper's first book that he wrote on poetry. He leaned heavily towards Whitefield's doctrines of a big God. He leaned away from John Wesley's doctrine of a little God. But he had had his heart warmed into evangelism by an old 18th century African slave trader by the name of John Newton. Amen. We heard so epically played on the harmonica this morning. William Cowper's was known as being a successful failure. I wonder how many times God will call on us to minister to successful failures. We may pour our whole life into an individual, never to see any visible signs of success. Oh, don't give up hope. There may be a song come out of that insanity. There may be some glory come out of that gloom. There may be some greatness come out of that weakness. Oh, don't give up hope. Keep pouring yourself into their life. I'm talking about some key statements from the life of William Cowper's. But could I mention from his life this morning not only some key statements and some key scriptures and the keys to his life, but I'd like to mention some kinks in his life. He had some real kinks for sure. I notice he had some family kinks. I find often people that are fighting depression, they've got some family kinks somewhere. You can rest assured of it. His mother died when he was 6. At the age of 59, someone in the family gave him a picture of his mother. He had never, ever had a picture of his mother. He sat down and wrote this poem. It's been 53 years since she died. And he wrote this poem and attached it to her picture. Oh, that those lips had language, my mother, when I learned that thou wast dead. Say, wast thou conscious of the tears that I shed? I heard the bell toll on thy burial day. I saw the hearse that bear thee slow away. And turning from my nursery window and drew a long sigh, he said, I wept a last ado and said, my mother, goodbye. Oh, he was a young man that was strolled in a family kink from the very beginning. Thought it was interesting. At the age of 11, his daddy gave him a book on self-murder, how to commit suicide successfully. That'd be a good book to give your kid, wouldn't it? Oh, maybe some of you are not giving your kid that kind of book. But you may be setting up an atmosphere of darkness around the house. Amen. That will lead them into dark despair that they may never can reach up out of. Huh? Are you listening to me? Family kinks in the life of William Cowper. I notice not only do I see some family kinks, but I see some furnace kinks in his life. After several failed suicide attempts, why, William Cowper was such a failure, he couldn't even successfully kill himself. Be pretty bad if you're such a failure. I mean, you can't even be successful at killing yourself. At the age of 33, he was committed to St. Albany's Institute for the Insane, where he met a believer who was a doctor. That believer who was a doctor shared with him John chapter 11, the portion of scripture that I had read to you this morning. It is not your typical Romans road. No. He was trying to show him how he could get loose, how he could get free.
Amen.
After he had been in the insane asylum for several months, William Cowper's went out into the garden there to sit on a bench. There happened to be a Bible laying on that bench. Can you imagine such an accident? He picked up that Bible and just let it flop open in his lap. It flopped open to Romans 3:25. It is not your common, ordinary Romans road verse. He said, I saw in that revelation a benevolent statement of goodness and sympathy for saving the most miserable of men. William Cowper said, I broke out in tears. He said, as I read and pondered Romans 3:25, there is a full propitiation for all my sins. He said, immediately he gave me strength to believe that portion of Scripture. And he said there was a full beam of the Son of Righteousness that fell upon me, and he pardoned me and sealed me from my sin.
Amen.
And for the next 30 years, William Cowper was never sure that God ever did anything on that bench because of the dark despair of depression that he fought constantly. Can I ask you this morning, is there any among us like William Cowper this morning? Oh, you fought the darkness of despair for so long. You feel like you might be the only one on that side. Oh, I'm going to show you this morning you're in good company. Many will not even admit to it. But oh, I'm telling you this morning, don't despair. I'm firmly convinced he's on that side too. Huh? Not only do I see this morning the keys to his life and the kinks in his life, but I want us to lay down before you the killings of his life. He fought with substantial depression. He was constantly struggling with the dark despair of depression. Matter of fact, it was the theme of his life. I was reminded of that some time ago. A young man that I had taught years ago in Christian school, I taught him Bible. He was 32 years old. Him and his brother had their own home together. They had successful jobs. They found journals. He read his Bible every day. He wrote some of the most profoundest truths and deep things of God that you could ever write. But on New Year's Day of this past year, he went down the street about 4 o'clock in the morning on a cul-de-sac, hung himself on a basketball goal. At his funeral, they had a large banner up over the church. Had his name up there, Brooks Thornton. Had the day he died. And underneath it, it said, this day Brooks lost his lifelong battle with depression. Oh, he fought it all his life. It come to the place where he couldn't fight it no more. Oh, for some reason he thought there was no hope. Oh, let us give our William Cowpers, there's hope this morning. Don't despair. God might bring a song out of that insanity that you have this morning. Oh, substantial depression. I would not only mention his substantial depression, but I would mention his suicides and deaths. 6 different times, William Cowper tried to kill himself. 3 times before he went into the insane asylum. 3 times while John Newton was his pastor. Can you imagine having the author of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, as your pastor and you want to kill yourself? Huh? 3 times he tried to commit suicide. He bought poison, he took it, it made him sick, and he puked it up before it killed him. 2nd time he was going to jump off a wharf of a bridge. He went down there, the water was too low. It wouldn't be enough of it to drown him. 3rd time he went home and hanged himself. Someone broke into the house, cut the rope down before he died. He tried 3 other times unsuccessfully to kill himself while with John Newton as his pastor. And on each time, there was a malfunction in the rope or in the stretch, and he couldn't kill himself. Someone asked Arthur Pink one day, a man kill himself, still go to heaven? Arthur Pink said, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say nothing about it. Of course, I found that the Bible don't say nothing about it. You better not. I know some of you got all that figured out, but I don't know how you figured it out. Because he ain't said nothing about it. There's 9 people in the Bible that committed suicide. But Arthur Pink did say this. He said, I don't know if you can commit suicide and still go to heaven or not. He said, but I do know this. He said, it is a fearful thing to go out into eternity uninvited. You didn't get no invitation to come. To stand before the tribunal judgment seat of God with the last sin on your hands, the sin of rebellion, telling God, I'm going to have it my way. I don't know what kind of dark despair you may be in. Sister, I know this morning he's been telling you it's all in your head. But I'm here to tell you this morning it ain't all in your head. It's real. It's dark. And it just seems like you can't get up out of it. Suicide. And death. But could I mention from the life of William Cowper, not only these thoughts about the keys to his life and the kinks in his life and the killings of his life, but I would not want to fail to mention this, the kindness for his life. There was a pastoring kindness. John Newton was his pastor for over 20 years. Old John Newton was known as being the happiest pastor of his day. John Newton said one time, if I see a heap of misery, he said, I'll add to it 2 heaps of happiness. He said, if there's a knock at my study door, he said, I'll not see it as an interruption, but a divine message from God to help me. He wrote Amazing Grace and all that sweet song, glorious things of these are spoken. Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning if God would raise up some John Newtons? To minister to some William Cowpers. Huh? Ain't no telling what kind of gloom God could use and bring glory out of it. I don't know about you. When I was pastoring, I shied away from that crowd. You feel like you never can help them? You just feel like you're just giving, giving, giving. Don't you reckon that's the way old John felt with William for 20 years? What good is it doing? Hey, is there anybody here ever been blessed by there is a fountain filled with blood? Aren't you glad God left him in insanity and John Newton kept pumping him to write those songs?
Amen.
Oh, I'm talking about pastoring kindness. But I am reminded of a persistent kindness. The last years of Cowper's life, John Newton pastored in another city. I would remind you, William wouldn't have been a good member for you. On one occasion, John Newton said he'd never come to church for 2 years. He didn't even come out of his bedroom. But old Newton just kept pouring himself into it, pouring himself into it. What in the world is he looking for? He's looking for inspiration to come out of that insanity. He was looking for glory to come out of that gloom. Yeah. He pastored him at a distance. And he wrote him every week when he pastored him from a distance. He challenged him. He begged him to keep writing those poems for music. During those 6 years when William Cowper was pastored from a distance by John Newton, old William Cowper translated everything that we've got that we can read today that Madame Guyot wrote and Fenelon wrote. They lived in the 300s and 400s. I tell you, if you want to read any kind of material, cause you get underneath of a table and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God, am I even saved?" Read Madame Guyot, Fenelon. William Cowper translated all of their writings from French into English so that we would have those great truths. He wrote a song book along with John Newton, that has ever been a blessing to many along the way. Kindness is from his life. Amen. Oh, how many times do you reckon John Newton looked at William Cowper and said, "There's no hope. Oh, that boy's too far gone. He's too far in the darkness. He'll never help anybody. He'll never be a benefit to anybody here in only England." Oh no, he didn't help him in only England. He's reached around the world. There's probably no telling how many people have been saved. Not long ago, I was down at Myrtle and saw God save over 100 people. While they were singing for over an hour, there is a fountain filled with blood. I couldn't help but think that maybe old Cowper's was sitting up there on the banks of the first seats of heaven just clapping his hands. He was finally out of the dark and into the light.
Amen.
I was thinking this morning again not only about the kindnesses for his life, I was thinking about the keeping of our life. Please, 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 do not dare think this sermon is not for you. Please, please, don't sit there and think that you will never be depressed. God can fix it up before nightfall, that you could be in Dick's heel doing this. Blah, 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 blah. Huh? Your wife wondering what in the world has happened to him. Huh? Webster's dictionary defines the word depression as dejection, self-abasement, weakness of despair, has the idea of when you begin to draw yourself from life and put up walls between you and them. One great preacher yesterday who fought depression all of his life, he said depression comes from a deeply wounded spirit of an unresolved life issue. It's something deep within inside of you that you've never dealt with before. That's what Webster's defines it as. If you've got your Bible this morning, Psalms chapter number 42. Sister, if you're having problems with depression, I want to show you from the Bible this morning that you are with a good crowd. Sir, if you're fighting the dark despairs of depression this morning, I want you to know that you're in a boat with the most holiest of men that has ever lived, that God would see fit to give that burden for him to tote through this life. David was such a man. The Bible says in Psalms 42 and verse number 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquiet in me? Hope thou in God, for I yet shall praise him for the help of his countenance." Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Psalms 43 and verse number 2. "For thou art the God of my strength, why dost thou cast me off?" Verse number 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" That little word "cast" is a shepherd's term. Sheep get gas is built up in their bellies. They'll root them out of place and lay on their side. Somebody don't get to them quick, won't be long before they'll have all fours in the air. They'll be in the dying cockroach position. David said, "My soul is in the dying cockroach position, Lord. If you don't come and set me on my feet and touch me and rub me all over and get the blood to flowing, I'm going to die." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God raise up some John Newtons this morning, go find some William Cowpers, set them back on their feet and rub them right good and get the blood flowing in them again. Huh? You never can tell. Might be some inspiration come out of that insanity. Tell you, if you're having problems with depression, you're in good boat this morning. David did. You got your Bible there. Book of Lamentations. Chapter number 3. You say, "Preacher, I just feel like I'm the only one on this side." Jeremiah was in the boat with you. Fought despair. Why do you think he cried all the time? Huh? He lived in despair all the time. Why, every time he preached, nobody come. You like to have that kind of ministry. God called you to preach and said, "Before you go, ain't nobody going to listen." Huh? Woo, man, I want to go there. Gracious, ain't going to have no converts, no success. Lord, send me there. That'd be good. Woo, man, that'd be great. Huh? Verse number 1, he says, "I am a man that have seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Again in verse number 6, He has set me in dark places. They that be dead of old. Oh, Jeremiah said, I'm in the dark. I feel like there's nothing around me but death. He said, I can't see my way out. Verse number 14, he says, I was in derision to all people, their song all the day. Verse number 17, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Jeremiah said, I'm in such dark despair. He said, I can find no peace. We're talking about one of the Bible writers fighting depression. Here's another little group. You got your Bible. Luke chapter number 24. This is the two on the road to Emmaus. Verse number 17. Jesus come up alongside of them and said, what manner of communications are these that you have one another? As you walk and are sad. I was extremely interested in that little word sad. The little word is the dark despair of depression because things have not gone as you expected them to go. Oftentimes we'll slip into depression. Those things have not gone like you wanted them to go. I tell you, it has been a great help to me recently to get a hold of David's thoughts. My expectations are from the Lord. David said, whatever God sends any given day, he said, that's exactly what I was expecting. You can't ever be disappointed that way. Have a good day or bad day. That's exactly what I was expecting. Yes, sir. My expectations are from Him. Hey, you're in that boat of great despair and depression. You're in good company. David and Jeremiah was in it. These two on the road to Emmaus was in it. Preachers, is there anybody else in it? Oh, yeah. Fair-haired boy was in it. The one that wrote over half of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul. Let's see him in the boat if you've got the Bible there. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 22, Paul said this, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. That little word bound there means to be tied up with the darkening despair of depression. How come Paul's down? Because things have not gone as he planned. Oh, some of the greatest men to ever live fought depression. Charles Haddon Spurgeon testified to numerous bouts with depression. Martin Luther, the great reformer, the reason why you and I are not Catholics this morning, because of his great 95 Theses, fought depression all of his life. Matter of fact, on one of occasions, he stayed in the bed 6 weeks. He only got out to use a bathroom. One morning, his wife came to bring him his breakfast. She had on all black. She had on her funeral clothes. She had on a black hat and a black veil across her face. He was a pastor. He raised up in the bed and he said, who died? Thought he might have missed a funeral. She said, your God has died. What? Shocked him that day to get up out of the bed. Oh, tell you, if you're fighting the despair of depression, you've got great company. I close with this thought this morning. We have looked at several things from Cowper's life. I would like to close this morning at looking at some kisses from his life. Some kisses from his life. I notice one of the great kisses from his heart was this great song, "There is a fountain filled with blood, amen, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supplied, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save." How did such inspiration come out of such insanity? How did such glory come out of such gloom? Another song that William Cowper wrote, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." He wrote this in his latter days. "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close to God, calm and serene my frame, so pure light might mark the road that leads me to the Lamb." Oh, how can such inspiration come forth out of such insanity? Probably one of my favorite songs William Cowper wrote was not "There is a Fountain." But my favorite song is "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." The words to it are, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in infantile minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings upon your heads. Judge not the Lord by feeble sins, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bad may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief ensure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." Amen. Oh, I close this morning. I promise you, do not get scared at what I'm going to say. It will not take me but just a moment or two to say it. Five things I've learned from William Cowper's life. Number one, how can such inspiration come out of such insanity? How can such glory come from such gloom? How can such strength come out of weakness? I came across this thought. I don't know, it might be too deep for you, maybe over your head. God's providence always brings the greatest things out of the greatest darkness. I tell you, if you're in great dark despair and gloom of depression this morning, God may be fixing to bring some of the most inspiring things out of you that have ever come forth. Number two, I learned this. Acknowledge Him in times of deliverance from depression and despair, lest you wander in the wilderness all your life. William Cowper, when he died, a few days before he died, he told the doctor, he said, "I am in the greatest frustration of despair that I have ever been in my life." A few moments before he died, the lady that kept him brought him some food. She said, "You better eat." She said these were the last words that he said before he rolled over in the bed and died. She said, "You better eat." He said, "What's the use? What's the use?" William Cowper acquainted his depression with the first experience that he had with the darkness of depression after his daddy gave him that book on how to commit suicide. He said he read a book on poetry and it brought him out of that depression. And he said, "I never gave God any glory." And he said, "I believe I didn't give Him any glory, and He left me in the wilderness to wander the rest of my life." Are you listening to me this morning? I tell you what, hon, if you see any light at the end of that tunnel of your depression, honey, I'd shout until I couldn't shout no more. God's the only one to bring you out of that dark despair. Amen. Third thing I learned from William Cowper: let us distrust any thought of despair, darkness, or depression. Run! Saturate yourself with the light and give Him glory. I tell you, honey, if you feel a dark cloud over your head, you better saturate yourself with the light.
Surely.
And start giving Him the glory. Fourth thing that I learned: poor mental health is when the mind is focused on unworthy things outside of ourselves. Most depression comes from a wounded spirit of an unresolved issue of life. The fifth thing I learned from William Cowper, and I don't know if you can get this or not, it might just be over our heads this morning. Probably the deepest thing that I'll share with you in closing. I wish God would raise up some John Newtons to help our William Cowper. Would you stand with us this morning?